The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Do you know anyone who is full of vanity and pride? On the other hand, do you know of anyone who is truly humble and meek? You know, there's a principle that has been taught and believed for years, although you don't hear it too much lately. And that principle is this: vanity repels, humility attracts. This is a principle that stands up. It's consistent. It works. It's true. It's real. Today we're going to continue in the series of programs on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians 5 and verse 22 and review the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It says in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And we've covered all those fruits in previous programs. And today now we're going to cover the next fruit, which is the eighth one, verse 22, meekness. And then after that is temperance. Against such there's no law. What is meekness? Do you know what meekness is? Very few people really understand the true definition and meaning and practice of meekness. Many people view it as weakness. They think a meek person is a weak person, cast down and silent and shy. They think a meek person is easily pushed around. This is not true. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength. There is strength and power in meekness, if it's meekness of the right kind. There is endurance. There is long-term accomplishments attached to the attitude of meekness, if it's meekness of the right kind. I thought it was interesting to look in Webster's dictionary and see what the definition of meekness was there. And one of the definitions was this: too submissive, easily imposed on, spineless, spiritless. Now, of course, that's the world's definition of meekness. And it's exactly the opposite of what true meekness really is. When you get God's definition of meekness right from His Word, it's totally opposite to what Webster's definition of meekness is when it says in that dictionary, "Oh, meekness is too submissive, easily imposed on, spineless, spiritless." Who'd want to be that way? Why would we want to be meek if that's what it is? And yet God tells us we are to be meek. The Bible tells us in His Word that He wants meekness, the attitude of being meek and the right kind of meekness. You know, Moses was meek. Jesus Christ Himself was meek. The actual real meaning of this word is this: it means to be humble. True meekness means to be humble, gentle, kind, easily entreated. It is considerate, respectful of others. It's caring, it's serving. That's the way God wants us to be. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 and read about one of the greatest men that ever lived. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And that man was Moses. If you study the life and history of Moses, you'll see he was a giant in history and in the Bible in terms of character and attitude and serving God. And he's spoken of throughout the Bible. And God holds him in the highest esteem. And look what it says here in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Very meek. He certainly wasn't weak, spineless, or spiritless, but he was gentle, humble, teachable, considerate, caring, respectful, all of those things. That's the great prophet and leader, Moses. He was very meek, it says. But now let's read about the greatest human being who has ever walked the face of this earth. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 11. Notice Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. These are the words of Jesus Christ. No one ever measures up to him, although we try to be like him more and more all the time. But no one can ever really measure up to being at the level of Jesus Christ completely and totally. He was perfect. He never sinned once. And he was the epitome of perfection on this earth in human form as God in the flesh. And here's what he says. Notice Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice the caring and the love and the concern he has and offers to us. Now notice verse 29 of Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm gentle and I'm humble. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he will help us with it. It may be a tough assignment being a Christian, but God will help us and lighten the burden. But what I want to focus on today in context of what we're discussing, this attitude of meekness, look what he says here in verse 29, Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm gentle, I'm kind, I'm humble, I care. That's what Jesus Christ said. Well, certainly if he was meek, we want to be meek. And certainly it doesn't mean weakness if Christ was meek. It means strength, because he was very strong and very powerful. Let's notice one other thing here in Matthew that Jesus Christ said. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Jesus Christ says right here in the middle of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. So it's something we want to have. It's something we desire. It's something we reach for. We want to attain. It's something that we are developing in our lives if we are true Christians, this attitude of meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But of course, meekness is not the world's way. In fact, the pervading attitude and motivation and approach and persona of society today is exactly the opposite to this wonderful attitude of meekness. They promote the very opposite of that attitude in every facet of our society today. The general approach in the world is it's all about pride and vanity. You must have pride. You must have vanity. In other words, you've got to look a certain way and be a certain way. And you've got to be your own person. And don't let anybody push you around. Family pride, school pride, national pride. You've got to compete and win at all costs. And you've got to be better than others by doing whatever it takes to get there. That's the basic approach in this world today. And you hear it in songs. You see it in movies. It's inherent in sports. Pride and competition and win at all costs. And winning is fine, but not at all costs. And doing well and pursuing excellence is a must. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it with your might. But you can do that without competing. You can do that by trying to do your very best, by trying to achieve your full potential. You can do that without outdoing others and winning over others at all costs and having all this pride about being the best, the fastest, the smartest, the prettiest, the most handsome, the richest, and all that kind of stuff. That is not a godly attitude, and it's exactly the antithesis of the attitude of meekness. And by the way, it's a box canyon. It'll lead you in the wrong direction, and in the end, it'll fail every single time. Let's just notice right over here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Look what the Bible says about this attitude. It's not something that Jesus Christ had, and it's not something we want, this attitude of pride and vanity. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Some people think, well, if you don't have pride, you won't really try to do your best. No, you try to do your best because it's the right thing to do. Not to draw attention to yourself and be better than somebody else and beat somebody else, but because it's the right thing to do. And then you are achieving. You are accomplishing. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So what? You did the best you could. That's what God judges, and that's what really counts in His eyes. It says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world. Now, we do love the people, but we don't love what they do, and we don't love what some of them become. And we don't love this society. And we don't love the lack of values and standards and principles in this society. It's falling apart. It's coming unraveled. It isn't based on truth. It isn't based on morality. It isn't based on excellence. It isn't based on honesty. It isn't based on Christian values. And we want to live our lives based on Christian values. And these fruits of the Spirit are Christian values, and this one of meekness certainly is. But pride isn't. It says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Most people do love the world, and most people do love the things in the world. And having nice things is fine, with the right perspective and in their place. But they're not paramount. They're not the most important things. The most important things are spiritual blessings from God, character, and the fruits of the Spirit, and following Jesus Christ, and serving Almighty God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those are powerful words right there. Verse 16, 1 John 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and you know that's everywhere, all-pervading. It's just like something that ripples right through all facets of our society today. Lust of the flesh, satiation of the five senses, stimulation and buzzes and rushes that come from doing the wrong things, drinking the wrong things, saying the wrong things, being around the wrong people, rebelling and going against what is right and good and wholesome. Oh, it just gives me such a rush, people have told me before. Well, it's going to end up on the rocks because God will not bless it, and you can't go anywhere with it except right up a box canyon and to a dead end. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and notice this now, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, the pride of life. God is not pleased with that, and it's the opposite to humility and the opposite to meekness. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. It fails in the end. All that's mentioned in verse 16 passes away when the world passes away, and part of that that passes away is pride, pride of life. Fails every time, can't make it work, and God hates it. Let's notice that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Once again, some very powerful words here. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. God inspired this to be put in His Word right here in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord, that just means standing in awe of God, worshiping Him, deeply respecting Him, looking up to Him, surrendering and submitting to Him. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Do you despise evil? Do you reject it? Do you flee from it? A lot of people find it fascinating. They like to wallow in it. They get a big kick out of being naughty and ugly and mean and hateful, rebellious and lawless. Well, that's going to backfire on them, and that's not God's way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Notice this word now, pride. It goes on, the wording should be clear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and to hate pride, and to hate arrogancy, and to hate the evil way, and the froward mouth, which means perverse mouth, filthy language, filthy talk, lying and twisting and deceit and hypocrisy. The froward mouth, do I hate? God hates it. All those who stand in awe of God hate it. And all of that is part and parcel with pride and arrogancy. It's not something to strut and brag about and to cultivate at all. It's the opposite to what God wants us to cultivate, which is humility and meekness and kindness and gentleness and caring and serving, all the while being very strong, very powerful, very motivated and very committed to excellence and doing our very best at everything, but with an attitude of meekness, not an attitude of pride. Here's where it leads to. It tells us right here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Look at this. It's very, very plain. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. What comes before destruction and what comes before a fall? Pride and a haughty spirit. They lead nowhere except down and out. Therefore, we need to ask God to help us to cultivate the fruit of true meekness, which is the eighth fruit of the Spirit. This is a godly trait of character. It always leads us in the right direction. Always. It leads us to make better decisions. It leads us to make better choices. It leads us to a better life. We end up with better people. And above all, and doing better things because of this attitude. And above all, meekness is pleasing to God, and therefore he will abundantly bless that attitude, that approach of humility and meekness. He makes that very, very plain. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Look at this wonderful passage of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. When people are just stubborn about their attitude and about their approach and what they're going to do, and they throw all caution to the wind, they're just going to do whatever they want to do, and that's it. I'm my own person. I'll do what I want to do and be what I want to be. They're just excluding God from being a part of their life, because God will not bless and be a part of an individual's life who has that attitude. He just won't. He rejects that attitude. But when an individual wants to serve God, please God, and therefore serve others and help others, and is humble and teachable and caring and serving, and points to God as the source of all things and gives him the credit for all things that are done, but yet at the same time, in addition to looking to God for help in doing things, doing our part with his help, that's the individual that God will look to and bless and reward. That's just a fact. Now, some people learn that lesson and some people don't. They just bow their head, set their jaw, grit their teeth, and just stubbornly plow on right through the field of pride and vanity and then hit a pothole and down they go. I hope we won't be that way. I hope we'll think this through. I hope we'll back off and look at it objectively and realize, you know, you have only one life. Why not live it the right way? And if you do that, the right way is going to include an attitude of humility and meekness. It's going to include an attitude of caring and of maturity and of respect for others. It's going to include the approach Moses had and the character and attitude Jesus Christ had on this earth and still has. And it's going to be the opposite to pride and vanity. It's going to be all about an attitude of meekness and humility, all the while being very, very strong and very, very devoted and very, very committed to doing what God says. Let's turn here and read. Get your own Bible and read this. It's a very important verse. Mark it up. Go to it and read it often. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? God is so great, so powerful, so unlimited, so totally in control of everything, and yet so totally kind and loving and wanting to share everything with his family, meaning us, that he says, don't try to build me a compartment. Don't try to build me a location. Don't try to build me a particular structure and then contain me in that. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, he says. So he's all-powerful and unlimited. But just notice now verse 2. What impresses God? What catches God's attention? Do you want to have God's attention and his love and his mercy and his power and his strength and his knowledge and his forgiveness poured out on you? I certainly want to have that, and I want you to have it. Well, what's the kind of attitude that God will notice in that respect? We want all of that, but what will we do that will bring that from God and then get us in a position to where he will just pour that out on us? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, what impresses God? What gets his attention? What moves him to action in our direction? Is it pride, arrogancy, vanity, beauty, appearance, wealth, possessions, achievements, prowess, all kinds of talent, etc.? That's not what does it as far as God is concerned. And if we've got talent and ability, fine. And we share it and use it properly, fine. But that isn't what impresses God. That isn't what gets his attention. That isn't what brings his focus onto us and therefore then blessings on us and on others. Here it is right here in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. For all those things has my hand made. And all those things have been, says the Eternal. But to this man, woman, or child, this human being, this individual, this person, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. He doesn't mean poverty stricken here. He means an attitude of meekness, an attitude of humility, an attitude of being teachable, being thankful, caring, serving, considerate, gentle and kind. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word, highly regards my word, pays attention to it, gets in line with it, obeys it. That's who God will look to. That's who God will bless. That's who will be in God's favor. That's the kind of person all of us should want to be as true Christians. Just think about that for a moment. Imagine God favorably looking on you daily and on others. Well, the Bible says he will if we are humble and meek and kind. Smart alecks, self-absorbed, obnoxious, vain, strutting people, be they men, women, or children, are rejected and unacceptable to God. He will not bless that repugnant, distasteful attitude. You think about anybody that you've been around that's full of themselves, strutting around and spouting off, bragging and boasting about themselves, full of ego, full of vanity, full of pride. You enjoy being around them? They dominate the conversation, and all they can do is talk about themselves, how pretty they are, how strong they are, how beautiful they are, how smart they are, how much they have, how much they've done, how much they can do, where they've been, where they're going, how much better they are than everybody else. Who likes to be around somebody like that? I certainly don't. Neither does God. He doesn't like that. That's just pride that reeks. I mean reeks in the sense of not only being obnoxious, but it stinks. But you take a look at the opposite individual to that. Vanity really does repel, but humility actually attracts. Think about somebody that is humble. Someone who's kind and gentle and warm and friendly, considerate, doesn't just try to dominate and talk about themselves all the time and draw attention to themselves, but listens, cares for others, is kind and helpful. Someone who is funny and interesting and hardworking and who listens as well as talks, gives a helping hand. Someone who draws attention to others, and above all, of course, in the right way at the right time, draws attention to God and his strength and his power and his perfection. I like to be around people like that, don't you? Those are the kind of people we want to spend time with. Those are the kind of people that are really enjoyable. They'll get into a conversation, and it's a give-and-take kind of conversation. They want to go somewhere or do something, and it's all about, would you like to come? Would you like to go? Can I help you out? Can I give you something? Can I open the door for you? Can I help you with that load? Can you explain to me something, and I'll sit and listen. I want to learn from you. I love hearing you play on the piano. It's beautiful. Not, let me play on the piano and knock them dead, boy. I'm really great. That kind of thing. If we're all honest, we know that we would much rather be around someone who is humble and meek than someone who is full of vanity and pride. Well, if that's true, and it is, and we want to be around people like that, shouldn't we want to be a person like that? Yes, we should, and we can be. And that's what God wants. And that's the way Jesus Christ was, and Moses, and so many others in the Bible. And that has to do with meekness, the eighth fruit of the Spirit, meekness. It's a must for all Christians who are serious and dedicated in their service to God and in their service to Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the way He was on this earth. That's the way He is as the all-powerful, unlimited Creator of the whole universe under the supervision of God the Father. So examine yourself. Take a look at the attitude you have, the approach you have. Whether you're talking about the way you drive, do your job, relate to others, in the home, out in the community, in sports, in every facet of life, examine yourselves. And you know what you'll find if you're honest? You'll probably find you need to have more meekness and humility. And be sure and give some thought to this. Make sure that all of us are training our children to cultivate this attitude as well. Let's make sure that we're not raising children that are full of pride and vanity and selfishness and braggadocio, obnoxious boasting. If children grow up that way, they're going to have fewer and fewer friends, and pretty soon nobody's going to ever want to be around them, hire them, or anything else. But if we have children that are confident, and they have the right kind of confidence, and they're happy, and they're fun to be around, and they do what they do with all their might, but it's not in an aggressive, I'm going to beat you up or be better than you way. It's let's share this and have fun doing this. And if you beat me in the race, okay. And if I beat you in the race, okay. The main thing is we ran the race and had fun. Raise children like that, that are really committed and fully engaged and have the attitude of humility and meekness and caring for others and deferring to others at the right time in the right way. Those will be successful, wonderful children. And in order to rear children and raise children like that, we've got to be that kind of adult. And as we are, we're going to be pleasing to God, and we're going to be growing more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior, because that is the way He was on this earth and the way He is, and that is the way we must be. We must, and let's ask God to help us do this, we must be cultivating and growing in the fruit of the Spirit called meekness. Ask God to help you. And then set out to grow in that spirit of meekness, and God will help you, and you will be more and more like Jesus Christ with an attitude of humility, gentleness, kindness, service, yes, and meekness. Please request our free articles entitled Provoking Others and The Attitude of Competition. Ask for those articles, and we'll send them to you right away. They're free. There's no cost or obligation to you at all. All you have to do is just call 1-800-581-1317 and ask for the articles on provoking others and the attitude of competition. That's 1-800-581-1317. And also ask for Straightforward, our free magazine, just chock full of interesting articles on so many different topics, a variety of topics, family, news, world events, Christian living, doctrine, and so on. Straightforward Magazine. It's free. There's no obligation or cost to you at all. Call our number at 1-800-581-1317, or you can go to our website and ask for all these at straightforward.org. That's straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.